Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Welcome back to the message of the Quran, where we are going through every juz and just providing some different, providing different reflections on a different ayat in each and every single juz that we are supposed to be reading on that day. Today, inshallah, we're going to be going through juz number 22. And in juz number 22, we're going to talk about three surahs. But before that, I want to remind you all about our sponsors and the people who helped in order for this program to be brought to you. And this particular program is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Save Your Plate campaign. To learn more, please visit hhrd.org/qalam. That is hhrd.org/QALAM, and definitely donate in these last 10 nights so that you can get the most out of your reward, inshallah. So as we continue on, we're talking about, you know, the 22nd juz in the Quran. And in the 22nd juz in the Quran, we're going to go through some of the ending ayats of Surah Al-Ahzab. We'll also talk about some of the ayats in Surah Al-Saba and then some of the ayats as well in Surah Al-Fatir and then Surah Al-Yasin, the beginning of Surah Al-Yasin. You'll find that a lot of the different things, the different themes that are revolving are in these particular ayats is that the end of Surah Al-Ahzab is talking mainly to the Muslims and giving them, you know, more of a, giving them more injunctions when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ and the way to interact with the Prophet ﷺ's family and so on and so forth. And then you have in the next couple of surahs where there is a huge emphasis on Tawheed and Risalah and the Akhirah. So talking about, you know, the oneness of Allah, talking about the messengership of the Prophet ﷺ, and then also focusing on the Akhirah and talking about, you know, what's to come after this world. And so you have in Surah Al-Ahzab, the ayah that I want to talk about today is an ayah that shows us, you know, in Surah Al-Ahzab, that shows us what our responsibility is as believers. And so many times, you know, we will have so many ayat that will tell us this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do. And this particular ayah, it has what's called a sabab al-nuzul. And the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah, or what's called a reason or circumstance of revelation. And the circumstance of this revelation is that one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ came to him and he told her, and she told him that there are so many ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down for men to do. And the Prophet then tells her that, yes, those are inclusive. They're inclusive of both men and women. And she says, but no, we need something specifically for us. And in that, these ayat come down. This ayah number 35 in Surah Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innal muslimina wal muslimat, that for the Muslim men and the Muslim woman. Now there's a distinction that's going to be made here, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, and the believing men and the believing woman. And normally what we do is we make Islam or submission and, you know, belief synonymous. When here there's a distinction that's being made, and we know that the Quran is not repetitive. And in that distinction being made, what we're recognizing is that there is submission and there is belief. Your submission is needed, but your belief has to, you know, belief is something that when it's like your faith, you let your faith take over from there. Right? I can pray 5 times a day and I can fast because that's something that God has told me to do. But am I really believing in the fact that Allah is one? Am I really believing in the fact that Allah is in control? Do I really have that belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I should rely on Allah, that I should put my trust in Allah? And so here it's innal muslimina wal muslimat, the submitting men and the submitting women, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, and the believing men and the believing women, wal qanitina wal qanitat, and the obedient men and the obedient women. And what's interesting is that you see another level of, you know, faith manifest. You see another level of having your faith actually being put into action, because you can submit to the fact that Allah is one. You can believe that Allah is one and Allah is God. But are you being obedient, right? Are you actually fulfilling the things that God has told you to do? And then wasadiqina wasadiqat, and the truthful men and the truthful women. That a lot of our faith and us, our manifestation of our faith depends on our actions. Not depends, but our actions should reflect that. And so wasadiqina wasadiqat, and the truthful men and the truthful women, wasabirina wasabirat, and the fasting men, wasabirina wasabirat, and those who are patient. But patience, sometimes when we translate patience, it's like you think you're just sitting there and you're waiting for the storm to pass. When that's not patience. Patience is more so when you're pushing through, that you recognize these moments are difficult, or this is a difficult time in your life. And you don't let that take over you. You don't let that consume you. You recognize it and you depend on Allah and you keep pushing through. And that's why sometimes as-sabirin is actually translated as the steadfast men and women. As-sabirina was-sabirat. Wa-khashi'ina wa-khashi'at. And the humble men and the humble women. And to have khashya is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reverence, to recognize God's greatness. And in recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, then one is humbled by that. One has a level of fear by that. And that fear is not being terrified or petrified of Allah, but is recognizing Allah's greatness. And from there, thus being able to, you know, work hard at staying away from that which you shouldn't do, and work hard at doing what you should do. And so you have that level of humbleness before Allah. وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ, and the charitable men and the charitable women. Okay, and this month of Ramadan, you know, every year round you should be giving to charity, but especially right now. And what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beauty and the way that she would give charity was that she would, you know, put perfume on her wealth. She would put perfume on her money. And why she said that? She said, because this goes to Allah first. You know, this is for Allah. It's not for this person. It's for Allah. And so that's why she would beautify her charity. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, and the fasting men and the fasting women. وَالْحَافِذِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِذَاتِ, and the men and the women who protect, you know, who are chaste. And what you see here is that it's not only about doing. It's not about what you do, but it's also about what you protect yourself from. وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَّاكِرَاتٍ, and the ones who, the men and women who remember God often. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when his slave or his servant or his, you know, his creation, when they remember him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers them. When my servant remembers me, fi nafsihi, in themselves, that I remember them in myself. But when they remember Allah in the gathering, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers them, fi mal'in kathira, the khayrun lahu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers them in a gathering that is much better than the one that they remembered in. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that that these are the qualities of a pious person. This is the qualities of a person that has a close relationship with Allah. This is the qualities of a person that this is what is expected from us as people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what their reward is. A'adda Allahu lahum maghfira, that God has prepared for them forgiveness. Wa ajran azim, and a very huge, a very grand and rich reward. We're going to go down now to ayah number 36. And this ayah is so beautiful because it shows us exactly the weight of the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, and how we are to actually use the Quran and use the Sunnah as a roadmap. And that these things and injunctions and so on and so forth that the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is not just merely there for us to just use it as something to play with, but it's there for us to use it as a roadmap in our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 36, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ, that is not befitting of a believing man, of the believing man, وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ, and the believing woman, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ, that when Allah وَرَسُولُهُ, when Allah and His Messenger have commanded something, when Allah and His Messenger have decided on a matter, amran, they have decided on a matter, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خَيْرًا, that they think that they have a choice in it, مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that's from their own, you know, that they think that they have a choice in that deciding matter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ دَلَّ دَلَالًا مُبِينًا, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then that person has clearly went astray and they're in clear error. Now what's interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have commanded for us to do a matter or have decided on a matter, that it's not befitting of us to choose or to pick and choose when you want to do it. And this is what submission is about. The previous ayah talked about, you know, submitting. The very first thing that it says is إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ, that these are all levels of your submission and your connection to your religion. These are all levels of your worship to Allah. And so here, the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't think that you have a choice in whether or not you have that thing. Now, it's not taking away, you know, the fact that it's not taking away the fact that people struggle. Absolutely not. Because what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say at the end of the previous ayah? أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. If these are perfect people, then why does Allah prepare for them forgiveness? Right? So it's not saying that you don't struggle or whatever the case may be, but it's saying recognize the weight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger in your life. That there's a difference between saying this is something difficult for me and I'm going to work on it and I'm working on it, and actually just completely not doing it and saying, oh, I have a choice to leave this or to not do it. You have to be very firm in your faith. And being very firm in your faith is recognizing when Allah and His Messenger has made a decision, has done something, that has said something, or has decreed something that we should do and we should follow through. The last couple of ayat that we'll cover in Surah Ahzab is in ayahs number 40-41, and we'll go through these very quickly because they're so beautiful. We'll go through ayahs 40 through 43, and if we were to go through every single ayah, we wouldn't have time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. He's talking directly to us, to the believing people. O you who believe, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah with much remembrance. And when we're talking about the remembrance of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us how. He says, sabbihu bukratan wa asila. And exalt Him. Sabbihu sa'in ba'ha. It means, you know, someone who's immersed in something. right? It means when you're barely keeping your head above water, you know? And when you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay, he's not like anything or anyone else. In recognizing that Allah is not like anything or anyone else, you are recognizing God's exaltedness and his grandness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sabbihu bukratan wa asila. How can you recognize God's grandness or his exaltedness if you're not paying attention to Allah? If you're not paying attention to the signs that God has put around you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, remember Allah a lot. And the way that you do that is pay attention to what's around you, to the sky. And we're going to talk about this also in Surah Al-Fatir, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings such a powerful analogy there. So remember, we need to remember Allah. And the way that we remember Allah is by looking at the different things around us. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ مَلَائِكَتُهُ. He is the one who has put blessings upon you, who's bestowed blessings upon you, and his angels, right? Allah has given us blessings and his angels. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. To take you out of darkness into light. And this is what religion does. This is what Islam does. Islam takes us out of darkness and puts us into light. Islam takes us out of the harm that we put ourselves into and puts us into light. Islam reforms us and makes us to be the best version of ourselves, for us to be the best people. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And know that Allah is to the believers ever so merciful. We're going to go on to Surah Al-Saba now. In Surah Al-Saba also talks about prophethood, and it talks about as well the story of Suleiman. It talks about the story of Suleiman as well and Dawood. So we're going to go and hop on to verse number 34 in Surah Al-Saba, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and these verses that I want to cover here in Surah Al-Saba is because sometimes you feel like you're walking in the dark. You know you're supposed to be doing something. Sometimes people make the excuse that I didn't have a guide, or I didn't have, someone to help me out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That most definitely you will find in the Messenger of Allah a perfect example. And that's not just exclusive to our own ummah here, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also done that for previous nations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 34, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ. That there was never a community, there was never a single community except that a warner has been sent to them. Okay? A warner has been sent to them. Now, what's interesting is that the people, the way that they treated the Prophet is the way that they treated previous messengers. And the way that they treated the Prophet was that they made it seem like the Prophet was crazy. They made it seem like the Prophet, he was making it up. He was making up the Quran. He had fabricated the Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also presents these ayat as a consolation to the Prophet and showing him that, listen, you had a fraternity of brotherhoods that came before you, brothers that came before you, that went through something similar. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا مُتْرَفُوهَا. Okay, that there has never been a community except that a warner has been sent to them, without those among them who were wealthy, who were corrupted by wealth. They were corrupted. That they, and their corruption was like when you get certain blessings, sometimes people are given these blessings from Allah and they put themselves above, they give themselves a higher status. Inna bima ursiltum bihi kafirun. We do not believe in the message that you have been sent with. And then it goes on with talking about how their arrogance manifested. And the ayat are very powerful, because how to us take pride in certain things and make ourselves above Allah or make ourselves equal to God when these are things that God has given us. They're saying that we're not going to accept this message, or we're not going to do what you asked us to do because of our wealth and because of our children, because of all these things. When really, who gave them those things? Allah. And they're asking to be submitted to, submissive to Allah, and they're saying no because of the things that they have. قَالُوا وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُؤَذِّبِينَ. They say, they would say, we have more children, we have greater wealth. They would say that we have greater wealth. Someone said, I'm cutting out. I hope it's back now. I don't know what happened. But they will say that we have greater wealth, we have more children than you, and we shall not be punished. Our wealth and our children are going to get us out of this situation. That there's no way that we're going to be held accountable. And they would be so arrogant as to even bring up more things, you know, saying things like, oh, bring the punishment of God. Qul, say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, say, O Prophet, inna rabbi yabusutu rizqa limen yasha'u wa yakadir. My Lord gives in abundance. My Lord provides in abundance to whomever he wills. Wa yakadir, and he holds back to whoever he wills. And what he's saying is that this thing that you have, that you're taking so much pride over, this wealth, all of this stuff that you're taking so much pride over, this is what Allah has given you. Rabb, my Lord, the sustainer, the one who's been there for me, the one who's taking care of me. All of these things that you have, that you're taking so much pride in, know that Allah has given that. وَلَكِنَّ أَخْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people don't understand this. Most people won't use their intellect to really think about this. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Your wealth nor your children. بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِنْدَنَا زُلْفَ. That they will not bring you near to us. Your wealth, your children, and the reason why children comes up is because children was a form of wealth. It's a form of company. That these things, they don't bring you close to Allah. They're not going to bring you close to Allah, okay? إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا. But what will bring you close to Allah is those who believe وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and they do good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءٌ دِعْفِ. That those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that a reward for them that has been multiplied, okay? Multiple rewards for them, multiple. Bima amilu, for what they have done. Wahum fi ghurufatin aminu, and they will live safely in these lofty dwells, these lofty homes, these like high-rise homes in paradise. And we think of high-rise and what we think about now, but that's not the same as what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَسْعَوْنَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. But as for those who work against our signs and our message, مُعَاجِزِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهْدَرُونَ. And they're trying to undermine the message of Allah. They're trying to undermine the ayat of Allah. That for these people, there will be summoned to punishment. And so what we're learning here in this particular verse, these verses, is that don't be so deluded by the blessings that God has given you that you forget to remember Allah, that you forget to be thankful to God, that you think that you brought everything by your own doing. Because there are many people who have many talents, who can do many things, but Allah didn't put it in their risk for them to receive. That there are many people that have not been able to live up to their potential, and you could have been one of them. And so don't think that everything that you have is only because of what you put forth. That's not true. It's about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for you to have. It's about what God has given you. So that is the verses that I wanted to cover in Surah Saba. We're running out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and hop on to the beginning of Surah Al-Fatir. And we're going to do the beginning of Surah Al-Fatir because these verses are so powerful in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us something to pay attention to around us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the skies and how he created them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi al-fatir as-samawati wal-ard. And Surah Al-Fatir is the 35th surah in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all praise and thanks is due to Allah, fatir as-samawati wal-ard, the creator, the crafter, the designer of the heavens and the earth. Ja'il al-mala'ikati rusulan ulil ajnihatin mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'. and who made the angels messengers with two or four pairs of wings. يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ. And he adds to his creation as he wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And know that God has power over all, everything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. No one can withhold the mercy or the blessings of Allah. No one can withhold the mercy or the blessings of Allah that He opens up for people. That what is meant for you will not pass you. That if Allah, the blessings that Allah has coming your way, there is nobody that can stop them. There's no one that can withhold them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْتَهِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. That no one can withhold the blessings and the mercy that Allah has opened up for people. وَمَا يُمْسِكَ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Nor can anyone but him release what he has withheld. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you're making dua for Allah, for something from Allah, then know that God will give it to you at the time that's best for you. And know that if He doesn't give that to you, He will give you what's best for you. But if everyone, and this is in hadith of the Prophet when he's advising your young companion, he tells this young companion that if the whole world was to gather together to benefit you, they would not be able to benefit you except by the will of Allah. And if the whole world were to gather together to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except by the will of Allah. Hu al-Aziz al-Hakim. Know that Allah is almighty and He is all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha nasu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O people, remember the blessings of Allah on you, the grace that God has shown you. How many of us are grateful to Allah? How many of us sit down and think about the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us? How many of us actually sit down and are grateful for our health and our family and the different things that Allah has put in front of us that we can see, the sky, the trees. How many of us are grateful for these things to live in peace? There are so many people who are not living in peace, who walk out of their home into war zones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, He's not talking just to believers, all people. Udhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. Be frequent in mentioning the blessings that God has given you, remembering them, remembering God's grace towards you. هَلْ مِنْ خَالِكٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That is there any other creator? Is there any creator other than Allah that has given you all of this sustenance from the heavens and the earth? That everything that you're able to have and benefit from? Is there any other creator that's giving that to you? No. La ilaha illahu. This is what it means to say that there is no God but Him. There is no deity worthy of worship except for Him. فَأَنَّى تُؤْفَكُمْ. So how could you be deluded? This is the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks here. This is the question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends off this little passage with. فَأَنَّى تُؤْفَكُمْ. So how can you be deluded? Think about your daily life. Think about the things that are going on in your life. Think about the moments and the times where you've completely just ignored your relationship with Allah. That you've ignored how much Allah has blessed you. Think about those times. And what have they done for you? Nothing. Nothing. They've just made you in more misery. But when you recognize that Allah has done so much for you, and He continues to do so much for you, that it helps you in your life to be able to navigate different situations that come up. It makes you grateful. It makes you grateful. That we talk about taqwa Allah and being mindful and God conscious and aware of Allah. And Hassan al-Basri, he says that taqwa, in order to give Allah His right, haqqa tuqatihi, okay, to have awareness and God consciousness of Allah, in the way that Allah deserves to have that awareness and God consciousness of Him, that means that you obey Allah and you don't disobey Him. So you do what God has told you to do, and you stay away from that which Allah has told you to stay away from. that you remember Allah and you don't forget him. So you're in constant remembrance of God and his blessings and the things he's done for you. And you don't forget him. And then last but not least, he says, it is that you are grateful and you're not ungrateful. That is what it means to have taqwa, to be pious. That you are grateful and you're not ungrateful. Because ingratitude is what leads to you forgetting the power and the qudra of Allah, and is what led many people to disbelieve, being ungrateful to Allah. And we're going to hop down to ayah number 6 in Surah Al-Fatir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna shaytana lakum aduun." Shaytan is an enemy to you. Okay? فَاتَّخِدُوهُ aduwa. Then take him as an enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That he only invites you to his party. He only invites you to be amongst him and his friends. He only invites you to be with him. Why? So that you can be companions of the blazing fire together. And this is something that we should remember. That we should remember that shaitan is a very clear enemy to us. Shaitan is not our friend. These whispers that he does, he's not our friend. He's a very clear enemy. And last but not least, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma kana yuridu al-izza," that if anyone desires, this is ayah number 10, and everyone who desires power, فَلِلَّهِ إِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Know that all of the power belongs to Allah. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ كَلِمُ التَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمُلُ صَالِحِ يَرْفَعُهُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, good words rise up to him. Good words, when you say good things, good words, like la ilaha illallah, good words, they rise up to Allah. And he lifts up the righteous deeds. Do good deeds. Do good actions. There's a reason why when companions will come to the Prophet and they say, Ya Rasulullah, which action, which deed is best? Which deed should I do that will get me to Jannah? The Prophet always gave a variety of actions because good deeds are very important. وَالَّذِينَ يَمْكُرُونَ سَيِّئَاتِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. And as for those who do bad deeds, who are evil, who plot, then for them is a very clear, painful punishment. مَكْرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ هُوَ يَبُورٌ. That their plotting will come to nothing, will not come to any fruition. أَوَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ. This is recognize the reality of your life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from dust. ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, then from a drop of fluid. ثُمَّ جَعَلَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, and then he made you into partners. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَدَعُوا إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. And no one gives birth or conceives except without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِنْ مُعَمَّرٍ وَلَا يَنْقَصُ مِنْ أُمْرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. And no person grows old or has his life cut short except in accordance with the record, with what has already been written down. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And know that this is easy for Allah. It may seem difficult for you to even keep up with your own life, but Allah can keep up with every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in ayah number 13, يُلِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُلِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. That he makes the night merge into the day and the day into the night. وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, and he has subjected the moon and the sun. كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, that they take turns at a very appointed and precise time. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ, this is your Lord, this is Allah your Lord. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, that all control belongs to him. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن كِتْمِيرٍ, that as for those who put their trust in other than Allah, as for those who call upon other than Allah, as for those who think that other things other than Allah has control, they don't even have control over the skin of a date stone. That's something so simple. You intadawhum la yasma'u du'a'akum wa law sami'u mastajabu lakum. If you call them, they cannot hear you. If they could hear you, they can't answer you. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِهِمْ. And on the day of resurrection, they will disown you. Your idolaters, the things that you put before Allah, they will disown you. They're going to say, I don't know why this person put this before you, Ya Allah. I don't know why they thought that they can put their trust in me, Ya Allah. وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ. And like and none can inform you like the one who is all aware. So these ayat, Surah Al-Fatiha, are so powerful. We could keep going in this particular surah, but they are so powerful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings such real life things that are tangible. Like when He says, "Yulijum layla fin nahari wa yulijum nahara fin layl," that He makes the night emerge into the day and the day into the night. That's something we see every single day. And then He ends it off with, don't put people and things before Allah, because Allah is so grand. Allah is so merciful. Allah is so kind to us. He's our provider and He's our Lord. The last but not least is Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin is the 36th chapter in the Quran. And it talks about the messengership of the Prophet. It also gives examples of, you know, the people that came before. And it talks about the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah. And we're only going to Surah Yasin, actually the very beginning portion is the only part that is a part of Juz number 22. So we'll go ahead and close off here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to a nation of people, and He sends them a warner. And in sending this nation of people a warner to warn them, they decided to disbelieve in the warning that came to them, okay? And when they decided to disbelieve in the warning that came to them, they even had someone from their own group of people who came and told them to believe in these messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that here, وَدْرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. That give the people, meaning talking to the Prophet, give them the example of the two messengers. Give them the example of the town that the messengers came to them. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ مُثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. When they were sent two messengers, but then they disbelieved in those two messengers. فَأَزَزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. And we reinforced them with the third messenger. فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. And they told them that we are truly messengers to you all. قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُنَا. They said, the people of that town replied to them, you're just men just like us. How can, you know, you're just like us. How is it that you are messengers? And they said to him, وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. That know that God has not, the most merciful, did not send you guys, and you guys are just lying. قالوا, and they, these messengers, there are three of them, they reply, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْنَا لَمُرْسَلُونَ. That our Lord knows that we have been sent to you as a messenger. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا بَلَاغٌ مُبِينٌ. But our only duty to you is to deliver the message. We can't convert anybody. We can't turn you into believing. We are just here to send you the message. And so these group of people, they disbelieved. This nation, they did not believe in them. They treated them very badly. They tried to do so many different things to them. They told them that they will punish them. And a man, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَ رَجُلٌ, that a man came from the furthest part of the city running. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He tells them, you guys should follow these people because they're telling the truth. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow them because they didn't even ask you for any reward. They're not trying to look for any money, any compensation, nothing. But rather, they're just rightly guided. And not only did they not believe, but what this guy, the example that the person in their community gave them, they said, he said, مَالِ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Why should I not worship the one who created me? And it is him that you will be returned to. And this is what I wanted to focus on. That are what we're doing here, fasting in these last 10 days, these last 10 nights of Ramadan, this entire month of Ramadan, it is our worship to Allah. And whenever you feel your iman slipping, whenever you feel yourself taking a step back in your relationship with God, remember that Allah created you. That has been the theme of Juz 22, that Allah created you and He's given you so much. And in that giving of so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just asks of you one thing, and that is to worship Him to the best of manista thatum, to the best of your ability. And so we need to put our best foot forward, because we don't want to be on the day of judgment. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be remorseful. This guy, this third person who comes, this fourth person comes in to warn his people. When his people disbelieved so much that they ended up killing the messengers and him. And when he's resurrected, you know, when he's told to enter into Jannah, udkhul al-Jannah, when he's told to enter into Jannah, he feels remorse for his people. Ya layta qawmi ya'malun, if only my people knew. Bima ghafara li, of what my Lord has forgiven me for. Rabbi, wa ja'alani min al-mukramin, and He's made me highly honored. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people who are honorable. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for us to worship Him to the best of our abilities, and that we do not fall short in our taqwa, we do not fall short in our remembrance of Allah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for us to end off these last 10 days strong, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in our lives. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.